Bonnie Van Etten,
has joined the conference.
Okay. We will recommence. All of the technology people and Hugh tell me that we have no problem extending our time from a technology standpoint. I think we have to consider what's a realistic standpoint to extend the day, but we'll make that call a little bit later. Michael Takashi, where are we? We're, I think, on the second agenda decision?
The third.
Yeah, third agenda decision.
Yep, agenda decision C.
Yes, the next one is agenda decision C.
Sorry, I thought it was
consideration of two joint arrangements with similar features that are classified differently. For this agenda decision, we are proposing to finalize the agenda decision without changes to the wordings for the for the reasons provided in paragraphs 85 to 88 of the staff paper. Do you agree?
Okay, so this agenda decision, for people following on and the chairman, begins on page 5, but really is page 6 of the paper, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. And you're proposing to make no wording changes?
Yes.
Do I see any objections to that? Bonnie, any objection to that?
Are we talking about the first change or the second change in agenda agenda decision C? Because there's nothing on page 6, but there's something on page 7. Were we just talking about page 6?
I don't see any marked changes on page 6.
Oh, sorry. I was ahead to agenda decision D.
Okay.
So no comments on agenda decision C.
All right, we'll take that as read. Now we're on agenda decision.
I have something on C. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I didn't see you, Charlotte. That's okay. My problem.
My only comment was that the legal form of a separate vehicle may not affect the rights. So maybe just to qualify that, it should be the legal form of a separate vehicle may affect the rights, because there are times when it doesn't. So you didn't look at the actual vehicle you've got and whether it changes. For example, some trust leaves the right, or some partnerships leaves the rights intact. This sort of implies that you always get a different answer. That was my concern.
What paragraph specifically are you
talking? Second paragraph, the one that starts the interpretations committee. But then this is because the legal form of the separate vehicle affects the rights and obligations of the parties.
Now, we reference B22 there, so I'd like to just sort of see what we say in B22. Yeah, in B22 we say the legal form of separate vehicle is irrelevant when assessing the type of joint arrangement, which is obviously different from what we have in the agenda decision.
Is this, and I think, I wish Alan was here, but he's in another meeting. I think he was quite adamant about this, especially when we talk about legal form that has legal personhood.
It depends what you mean. It depends what you mean by a vehicle, and there are many different things call it form into vehicles, and
right.
Some of them by their nature do not affect. They look for certain partnerships, legal. Don't really create a sort of legal barrier and leave the rights
right.
intact. That's still a legal vehicle. I think you just have to look at the actual vehicle you've got and see whether it affects the rights of the people involved.
Michael's looking at the language in the standard, which is always a nice touch.
Yeah. I mean, if we were to make a modification, I would propose that it was along the lines of saying what it says in B22, which is the legal form of the separate vehicle is relevant when assessing the rights and obligations.
I see a couple of heads shaking yes. Are we okay with Michael's proposal? Does that satisfy you, Charlotte?
Yeah, I just so sometimes it might not be relevant. It's relevant as part of the assessment, but it still might not change your conclusion.
Relative in assessing.
Yeah.
Relevant in assessing, yeah. Okay, let's do that. Anything else? Going once, going twice, sold. Okay, agenda decision D, which begins on page 7.
For this agenda decision, we propose to add clarifications regarding revenue recognition by a joint operator or joint operators when the parties to the joint arrangement purchase all the output from the joint operation, as shown in Appendix A on page 7.
So the addition begins, the Interpretations Committee also noted that there could be a case?
Yes.
That's the language we're focusing on. Bob?
A couple of questions on the addition. In A, it talks about the put being at market, and I wasn't sure whether that was important. I know this is an example. It starts out this, it could happen when. I didn't know whether there was a particular reason why or emphasis on why the sale was at market prices.
Yeah, and I think this was principally because we were looking at an example when that was the case, and so we picked that up as part of that example, having sort of thought through the consequences of that particular fact pattern.
Would it be okay if we just cut it off at the joint operation sells its output to the parties to the joint operation? So that if it was sold at fixed, unless we believe that there would be a different answer if it was sold at fixed prices.
I think that should work. We cover the question about market price in an earlier agenda a decision.
Right.
And so I don't think that we would need to put in at market price here specifically.
Philippe?
Reading the preceding paragraphs, it doesn't mention market price. So I think this notion of market price appears only in this edition. So it's a bit odd that it comes suddenly without being discussed in the fact pattern that the committee is examining. So I think...
Okay. Tony?
I guess I don't agree that we should make this amendment. This seems to me to be a question of when revenue is or isn't recognized, and this doesn't seem to be the right spot to be doing it. My sense of the previous discussion was that we were addressing a question of consolidation. So if I'm a joint operator, then I can understand that I might eliminate a transaction between myself and the vehicle. And therefore, I thought what we were looking at was a question of applying the consolidation guidance. This seems to me to be saying you should recognize revenue when, and I think it just raises a whole range of questions. So if this was a transaction in the scope of IFRS 15, I'd be looking at IFRS 15 to tell me when to recognize revenue. This might actually not be in the scope of IFRS 15 because for the most part, these sorts of things are non-monetary exchanges. They're not cash settled. Sometimes they are, but often they're not. And I might also look at a partner in a joint operation as being a collaborator rather than a customer. So for several reasons, I'm not sure this would be in IFRS 15, which is not to say there couldn't be revenue, but to me, mandating an approach to revenue accounting in an agenda decision that is addressing the joint arrangement standard seems to me to be misplaced. So my suggestion would be that we shouldn't include this in here. If we want to modify what we've said before, to explain that the logic there is about the effectively elimination of transactions with myself, that would be fine. I just think it's a step, in my view, it's a big step too far to be mandating that revenue should be recognised, when it would be another piece of the guidance that would determine when revenue actually is recognised.
Certainly the intention behind this was, there were two things. One was the comment that we've received raised a concern that the agenda decision as exposed was precluding recognition of revenue in all circumstances. When we had, you know, this particular person sort of raised an example that illustrated that maybe you could, but so what we were trying to do was to illustrate an example, but not to say you would always. But I suppose what it comes down to is 20C versus 20D being the basis for revenue recognition. And what this agenda decision is really focused on is the 20D and the not recognising revenue in accordance with 20D of IFRS 11. What our example highlights is that you could be recognising revenue in accordance with paragraph 20C. But I take your point, Tony, that perhaps by putting this in, we've gone and a step further than really the agenda decision was about. And that's, so the question is, how can we refocus?
Yeah, that's my concern. So I concur that if it's a transaction with between the joint the vehicle or whatever it is and the joint operator, revenue gets eliminated. That's not to say that if there is a sale to a third party by the joint operation, the joint operator wouldn't recognise its own share. Where I think I struggle is mandating that revenue, which this really does, it noted this could happen when, is whether there's a way of pulling this back so that it's not prohibiting the recognition of revenue, but it isn't, it couldn't be read as interpreting a specific situation that does exist in practice, for which the accounting at the moment is probably under discussion in the context of IFRS 15.
Now let me ask the staff a different question. Did we discuss this during the meetings to which the agenda decision applies? So are we adding a new piece that wasn't discussed?
I think we are.
Should we not?
Yes. And what our concern was that we were addressing was that we appeared to be closing the door on something that, again, we hadn't discussed. Perhaps there could be a legitimate basis for revenue recognition.
Okay. Marie?
Yeah, we are also quite concerned with this addition, and in fact the fact pattern where the share of output purchase differ from the share of ownership is the addenda paper F, where according to the discussion and what was said, it depends really on the fact pattern and the understanding and the situation, so it's beyond the possibility of this committee. So we are quite concerned about adding this element on this specific fact pattern, saying that in that case you have revenue, whereas on the general concern about this difference, we are just saying that it really depends on the fact pattern. So we really prefer to delete that, and maybe on the post-implementation review, all these elements about these different ownership will be discussed.
You would not do this.
Yeah, I will not do this, and because I think it's also referred to the next agenda decision number F, where we said it's impossible for the committee to give an answer because it really depends on the understanding and the specific situation. So I'm concerned that we said that after, and here we said, okay, but there is a revenue.
Andrew?
Yes, I would also omit the proposed additional words here. What we could do to address the concern about not closing the door in other fact patterns is earlier in the decision just clarify that we are dealing with a situation where the parties take output in proportion to their ownership. So just so you don't get revenue in that situation, but not go on to say when you do get revenue.
Okay, let me ask the question in pieces because you proposed two things. Before I ask the question, John wants to come in.
Just in relation to the same thing, I mean, I do share some of the concerns that Tony has, but I do think this issue is different than the issue in the other agenda decision, which is what your percentage interest in, what your share, what are your rights to the assets and your obligations to the liabilities. This deals with the difference between what your right is in terms of percentage and how much of the actual output you take. So it's actually a different, to me it's dealing with a different issue. Once you've answered the first question in F, this deals with differences that arise when you take less or more than your actual interest in the JV. I do think though it does stray into IFRS 15 sort of territory and issues that are currently being discussed in IFRS 15, so that's why I wouldn't include it. I do have another question on another part of it, but if you're going to put some question on this one, I'll come back to that.
With this one first. Bonnie, before I get there.
My preference is not to include the additional language for the reasons that have been laid out by the other members.
Okay, let me try this without tortured syntax. How many are in favor of omitting this change? That's everybody but Reinhardt, right?
Nine in the room.
Nine in the room. Bonnie's already said that's where she is. Reinhardt, you would make the change?
I think, as Michael said, the concern is that the preceding section basically says you would not recognize any revenue when in a circumstance where the parties take all of the output. But I think exactly as John was articulating, there could be circumstances where you have a right to the output but you don't take all of that, in which case there could be some, based on pure consolidation mechanics, some revenue that you would recognize. So I think my preference would be along the lines of what Andrew said, which was to talk about, say this is a circumstance where you're taking output in proportion to your rate.
I was going to get to exactly that. That was going to be the second half of my question. On the assumption that I'm going to get there, you would agree with Talisa.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Andrew, you had a second piece of your comment, and I'd ask you to articulate it again.
Sure. Well, I'd suggest that early on, possibly in the first paragraph of the agenda decision, we say that we are addressing a fact pattern in which the parties take their rights to output, which are in proportion to their ownership interest, along those lines. That's, but then we're going on to say in that particular situation, you don't get revenue recognition in relation to the output sold to the other parties to the joint arrangement. So we're saying when you don't get revenue, we're not saying when you do get revenue.
John?
Just a comment. I mean, I don't think it's whether you take it in proportion to your ownership interest. I think it's whether you take it in proportion to your rights, to the assets and obligations,
right,
for the liabilities.
Yes.
I think that.
Yes.
Okay. Staff, we okay with that?
Yep.
Yes. Any objections to that? Okay. Does that finish us with agenda decision D? Okay, we're now on agenda decision. I thought we were finished.
No, sorry, I had another point on agenda decision. We do talk about other parties to the joint operation, and we say that in the staff paper in paragraph 90 and 91, we talk about that it's clear who those other parties are. But I think that it's actually not clear. There are three possible meanings of other parties to the joint operation. There's other joint operators. There's parties who have rights and obligations to the assets who would do the same accounting as joint operators, and there's also parties who do not have rights to the assets but are still have rights in the vehicle and therefore would be recognizing a net interest. So we concluded in the staff paper that the phrase other parties to the joint operation is clear, but I don't believe other parties to the joint operation is clear at all. There are three possible interpretations of who those parties are.
Okay, for my benefit and those on the phone, where are you in the agenda decision?
Sorry, just before the sentence before the ones which have now been deleted and taken out. We say, for this purpose, third parties do not include other parties to the joint operation. Because because we conclude that paragraph 20D results in the recognition of revenue by a joint operator only when the joint operation sells its output to third parties, and we define then third parties as not including other parties to the joint operation.
Oh, okay.
I actually think that in paragraph 90 of the paper, we actually have, we specify what we mean by it, and that should actually, that's what should be in the interpretation.
Flip over to paragraph 90.
We define it as those who participate in the joint operation have rights to the assets and obligations to the liabilities but do not have joint control, which means it's those that would account for their share of the revenue but not those who would account for a net interest in the vehicle.
Okay, that I was going to say 90 is a lot of words to accomplish that. But you had assured those who do not...
Well, I think it's those that... I mean, it seems to me that we would, if we're selling to parties, if we're selling to parties who have an interest in the rights, who are not joint operators because they don't have joint control, but they have an interest in the rights, then they would be accounted for the same as other joint operators. But if the parties we're selling to are those that have a net interest in the vehicle, then to me, they should be included in third parties. But that would just be my interpretation of what third parties means.
No, I'd agree with you. Need to pick up on some of the language in paragraph 23 of the standard itself, which refers to parties that have rights to the assets and obligations to the liabilities. So those are the ones that are not parties for this purpose.
Does that work, Michael?
I think we can make that work. Okay. So just going back, it's paragraph 23, the language you're referring to, Andrew. And it's so we would be saying that for this purpose, third parties do not include parties or a party that has rights to the assets and obligations for the liabilities relating to the joint operation.
Okay, that works.
All right.
Yeah.
Any objections to that? This is why drafting in a committee is hideous, but these agenda decisions are important, and so we've got to do it this way. Now, for a moment here, okay, that's what I need. I need to be a chairman meeting. Can you handle that?
Ah, right.
We have a technology problem here. Chairman. Okay. So I had mics coming on without a flashing, and then I couldn't follow who was here. All right, where are we going now?
Okay, the next one is agenda decision E, counting by the joint operator. The accounting treatment when the joint operator's share of output purchase differs from its share of ownership interest in the joint operation. With this agenda decision, we propose to acknowledge that the issue considered in this agenda decision is too broad for the Interpretations Committee to address in an efficient manner. Despite that observation about the breadth of the issue, we think that the discussion included in the tentative agenda decision is useful. Accordingly, we recommend that the Interpretations Committee should retain the discussion included in the tentative agenda decision, should acknowledge the breadth of this issue, and should delete the reference to IFRS 11 containing sufficient guidance. Do you agree with this?
Okay, we are on pages 9 and 10 now, and the changes are on page 10. Is that correct?
Yes.
And for those following on, and I didn't notice this when I read the agenda decisions, is referred to on page 9 as agenda decision F as follows.
And that's an error. It should refer to
E. No, it should refer to E, but
yeah.
I missed that completely when I was reading it. All right, so we're talking about the deletions and insertions that appear on page 10. And then I'll ask for other comments if there are any. Comments on the language deleted and added to page 10? Going once, going twice. Martin, you're reaching for the button.
My intention was to say I believe this comment is fair enough because this comment is fair enough and this change is all right, because ending up with a sounding that we believe sufficient guidance exists so that neither an interpretation nor an amendment is necessary, that's, according to my mind, a little bit odd.
So you like the staff?
I like it.
Let me be absolutely clear. Bonnie. Carl? And then I'll ask for Bonnie.
Yes, I agree with the two exclusions. However, I don't see a strong case to refer only this agenda, only this discussion to the board. I would not include this second last paragraph and will close the case at this moment.
So you're saying you would not make the change that begins consequently?
Yes. No. Yes. Consequently, and the interpretations committee noted, I don't see a strong case to refer only this topic to the board.
I think it's a point well taken. As a matter of course, we communicate all of this to the board. So saying, well, we're separately going to really communicate this one, you're right. The proposal is that we delete that last sentence / paragraph. Any objections?
I think the second last. Second last.
Second last. I thought you would want us to delete the last part of the last sentence, so just from the word but. Because we need to have a conclusion not to add it to the agenda.
Right, point taken, yeah. So you're just going to delete the last phrase. And I think that's what everybody but me understood. Bonnie, are you okay with that?
Yes.
Okay. All right, are there any other comments on agenda decision CE that we need to be talking about? Okay, feeding you guys seems to help. All right, agenda decision F. Maybe it's just feeding the chairman that helps.
Okay, general decision F, accounting in separate financial statements, accounting by the journal operator in its separate financial statements. For this agenda decision, we received only one comment from one respondent who stated that it agreed with the table of agenda decision. Accordingly, we recommend that the interpretations committee retain its decision. Do you agree with the recommendation?
Anybody? Philippe?
Just a question here. Have we considered the situation where the control exercised on the joint operation is exercised both by a parent joint operator and a subsidiary of that parent? Hence, what you have in the separate accounts of the parent doesn't represent the same interest as on a consolidated basis. You see my point, Michael?
We assert
that the rights and obligations in the separate accounts are the same on a consolidated basis and on a separate basis. Might be true. It might be that you exercise your joint control directly and through a subsidiary that you control.
So in other words, maybe you've got a situation where there's a parent that has a joint control of an entity, and that parent subsidiary also holds joint control of the same entity.
The joint control is exercised. Say you have two groups, A and B.
Yeah.
Let's say B has direct interest in the joint operation. Easy. Group A exercises the joint control through the parent entity and through a wholly owned subsidiary, A prime, over this joint operation. On a consolidated account basis, no, doesn't matter. But if you look at the separate accounts on the group A, then you would find only part of the interest in the separate accounts. And you have to add the subsidiary to go back to the consolidated.
And what we have considered here is a situation where there's only one interest.
Yeah, I think that needs to be clarified, because it might not be true in my fact pattern.
So we're referring to a single interest.
Yes.
actually, you don't need to make it as complicated, I think, as you have. If you had only one subsidiary and it had an interest in a joint operation, in the consolidated accounts, everything would be reflected. But in the parent-only accounts, you'd only reflect your investment in the subsidiary.
Yeah, I would, yeah.
So you don't need to make it as complicated as possible.
I was just objecting to the assertion that the rights and obligations are necessarily the same in the separate accounts and on a consolidated basis.
Okay. I mean, if...
It is in the third sentence of the beginning of this, on page 10, it also noted that those rights and obligations are the same, whether separate or consolidated. That is true, and it is a direct interest in the...
Rights and obligations are assessed from the, I mean, they're assessed from the perspective of the reporting entity, whether that's the consolidated, you know, whether that's or that's the individual separate financial statements. So it seems to me that they wouldn't know, they may not always be the same, depending upon.
So you're saying, okay, again, drafting in committee. It also noted that those rights and obligations of the reporting entity.
Yeah.
And that would say, address Philippe's concern.
Not sure. Not sure. If the reporting entity is the parent on a consolidated basis, and if it has an indirect interest in the joint operation, on a separate accounts basis, it will not have the same.
What if we were to say in respect of that interest, so that we're referring to a specific interest?
Yes, okay, that would go. Yes.
Okay, that's better. All right. Michael has dutifully noted that. Bonnie, anything else on this one?
Nope.
Okay. We refer then, or move on to, agenda decision G, as in GOAT, which appears on page 11, begins on page 11.
Okay. General decision G, accounting in separate financial statements, accounting by the joint operation and its financial statements. With this agenda decision, we propose to modify the wording so as to clarify that it is not the intention of the Interpretations Committee to imply that financial statements of a joint operation would not necessarily have to recognize the same assets and liabilities to which joint operators have rights and for which they have obligations. Do you agree with the staff recommendation?
Tony?
We agree earlier not to talk about contractual or legal rights and obligations, so I wonder why we're doing it here. If rights and obligations works earlier on, I just think we should probably stick with the same here.
Well, these are, these are with the contractual arrangements with the joint operators, which is more specific than we were discussing before. Andrew?
To be honest, I find the whole paragraph, starting with however, both the previous version and the amended version, vague and confusing. I'm not quite sure what we're actually getting at. The key point in this decision is that IFRS 11 doesn't apply to the individual statements of the joint operation, so the operation applies relevant IFRS requirements. If there's a finance lease, there's a finance lease, but that's no mystery. We don't need to make some vague and elusive reference to that type of thing.
So you delete the entire however paragraph?
That would be my personal preference. Like, I can live with it as is, but
despite it being vague.
And embrace vagueness.
Pardon me?
I say I can agree with that.
Deleting the paragraph.
Yeah.
right. John?
Deleting the paragraph, because I think there is some confusion about whether whether the entity is the joint operation itself or the actual legal vehicle, which is the reporting entity question. If it's the joint operation, then I think that all of the assets and liabilities of the joint operators are inside that joint operation reporting entity. If it's the legal vehicle, then you have to account for the arrangements that legal vehicle has with anybody outside the legal vehicle, which includes the joint operators. So I think that paragraph to me clarifies that in accounting in the separate financial statements of the vehicle, you do have to have regard to the arrangements that vehicle has with those outside of that vehicle.
Should we publish the joint objective by removing the second sentence? So the first one says that when you think about the assets and liabilities of the separate vehicle, you need to understand the rights and obligations of the joint operators. Do we need to go on to specify that we're talking about contractual? We could just say rights and obligations, so maybe just lose the second sentence.
I agree then.
So you delete the sentence that begins, the interpretation committee noted that it would be important.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take proposals one at a time. And Bonnie, I'll ask you to weigh in when I articulate the proposal here. The most recent proposal is that in the paragraph that begins, however, when identifying, we delete the ultimate sentence, the last sentence. All those in favor of that proposal?
Ten in the room.
Ten in the room. Bonnie?
I would be okay deleting that.
Okay. I think that supersedes all previous recommendations. Okay. Anybody else on agenda decision? G as in goat. Okay, amazingly, that's the last.
It is. We got through them.
There's actually one more.
Yes, there is. There's the one we didn't do.
That's right.
Okay.
So lastly, there is other topic for which the Interpretations Committee decided not to publish a separate agenda decision. That relates to classification of joint arrangements, consideration of an industry-specific case. And for this issue, we recommend that the Interpretations Committee should retain its decision not to publish a separate agenda decision. Do you agree with staff recommendation?
This is the one in which, as I recall, we said it was just way too fact-specific, fact-driven.
Right. Yeah.
Marie, you want to weigh in on this?
As we already mentioned, we would have preferred to have this one published as well. I think it's important that the one we just discussed are published right now, but to discuss it, this one again. We think that even if it's a sort of illustration of the different elements given on the other one, it gives some flavor and some more elements. And in this project entity fact pattern, you have the question of the cash, which is in the entity project, and which makes it really clear with this example that you should have a sort of continuous right to this cash, which is something, a good illustration of the different elements we discuss. We would think it's useful to have this one.
Other comments? Proposal before the House is that we not publish this one as a separate agenda decision. Marie has observed that it would be useful to have it. Any in favor of John?
I mean, I agree with that observation. I think there are elements of that agenda decision that are not captured as elegantly in some of the other ones, even though you could infer them from some of the other agenda decisions. So I would have been in favor of publishing it, which is consistent with the last meeting. So.
Okay, this one's relatively straightforward since we don't have any language in front of us. It's binary. those who would favor publishing this as a separate agenda decision? Show of hands. Okay, the motion fails. Bonnie, it was one vote in favor.
Okay, I wasn't going to vote in favor. not that it mattered.
Okay. All right, for several meetings, I have been begging the staff to promise me that this is the last of this. We're through? Done?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Until the next issue comes in.